Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Easy for you.
Hi, this is Wes McClooney, owner of the New Balance Memphis store. It's back to school, and I have an announcement for your children's feet. Okay, feet, this school year you need to help our children stand strong. You need to support them as they transition to a new type of environment, whether they're learning at school or learning online. They need new shoes to help give them the energy and endurance to learn, run, and play under unusual circumstances. They need New Balance shoes. They're designed specifically for younger feet with cutting-edge technology, and they come in some pretty cool colors, too. And when you shop at the New Balance Memphis store, our in-store fit experts will scan and measure your feet, resulting in a shoe that fits you perfectly. Come to the New Balance Memphis store to get the exact fit you need and help support your local store. We'll treat you right. Stop by and give us a chance to earn your business. New Balance Memphis, located in the Cordova Town Center on Germantown Parkway behind the Outback Steakhouse. New Balance Memphis, your feet will thank you.
Hey everybody, this is Coach Penny Hardaway. When I want to throw a party for friends or family, I want it to be a taste of Memphis, and that means Corky's Barbecue. Order online or call ahead and pick up at their speedy drive-thru. And be sure to tell them that Penny sent you.
We're brothers, we're happy and we're singing and we're...
It's Jason and John on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Who that? Who that? Hey, who that? Who that? Man, this what you've been waiting for. I mean, the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was listening, I ain't hating though, cause now I'm getting hot enough to we wanna stay in home. And she can't tell the difference. I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television, and did I fail the mission? Your girl is hot, a missionary, boy, you failed the mission. Speaking of positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrate it, finger poke whoever hated. My life accelerated, but had to wait my turn, then I redecorated. That mean my table turned. Live life, might as well, only way to learn is try and fail. Clientele, the only way to earn. So if you're selling, or if you're selling rap, make sure it's mean so the fiends keep on selling back. Who that, who that, I got that flame. Who that, I got that flame. Who that, I got that flame. So don't worry about, don't worry about my name. I got a flame. All right. Who that,
rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Welcome to your Monday, August 3rd, and we come back from the weekend. Clearly disappointed, a little bit down, no question about it. Memphis Grizzlies fall twice over the weekend. There's been so much anticipation, right, for the games to matter and the Grizzlies to get after it. I'll tell you what, there was no lack of drama in both losses. Fall 140-135 in overtime to Portland on Friday, then drop a 108-106 decision to the Spurs yesterday. We're going to talk plenty about it. Man, that Dylan Brooks foul at the end of that game. Frustration, the word. My partner, John Martin. How are we feeling today, brother?
Man, I am in the studio for the first time since, like, the second week of March.
Okay.
And it is crazy. Like, I have not been in this room saying words in 5 months. And it feels good. It feels good to be back in here. I mean, it's a little weird, right? I mean, it's Connor's producing, and you're not across from me. And so it's like things are different, but things are good. So happy to be back in here and doing a show. And I hope that someday, sooner rather than later, you know, you can rejoin me in here.
We'll get it done. We'll be back together, but know that we can do this satellite-wise, remotely, and we're happy to do it. So I'm happy to hear your voice. I'm happy we got Connor. I'm happy to roll, and I'm glad we've got games that matter to talk about, because we got another big one tonight, obviously, against the Pelicans.
Yeah, indeed. I got a big show planned for you today. We will talk about the weekend that was for the Memphis Grizzlies. We'll get into Dylan Brooks. We'll get into all of that today on the show. 11:25, Jason Fitz is going to join us. We will talk to him about the Grizzlies, about college football and the NFL, all that and more with Jason Fitz in the very next segment. 12:25, we are going to be joined by George Sedano from ESPN, get his thoughts on the Grizzlies and the rest of the NBA. And then at 1:25, Brevin Knight, Mr. Keep It Real. You know him from the Fox Sports South Grizzlies broadcast. He is going to hop on, and we'll talk to him about what he's seen from the Memphis Grizzlies. Certainly a weekend where you felt like, you know, you left a little bit on the table.
A little something, something. I mean, it certainly would have been nice at least to get one of those two, particularly when they're that close, right? You would have been nice to come out of them 2-0, particularly with the Pelicans losing both. You got a chance to really make up some ground. Instead, the lead is shrunk. Well, we're down to two games now that the Spurs are back. But listen, Grizzlies still, you got six game left. You got two game lead. You're still in a position you'd like to be in, even though you couldn't capitalize on what looked like some golden opportunities there this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, that really is what it comes down to be quite honest with you. And you know, we're trying to find people to blame. We're trying to find people to put this on. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, you can't put it on Ja. Ja has definitely held up his end of the bargain here as the NBA bubble resumes here. You know, yesterday he had 25 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists. I mean, the dude is doing pretty much everything he possibly can. And I mean, listen, as far as yesterday goes, a couple different things. One, you know, I don't know if the urgency was there. I mean, certainly the first half, it just felt like it was just a regular old 5-on-5 that you would play, you know, at the Cordova Community Center. You know what I mean? Like, it kind of just felt like a very lackadaisical effort there in the first half. And they turned it up there, but by the end of it, I mean, DeMar DeRozan's hitting tough shots, contested shots from the mid-range. And then, of course, he draws that foul on Dylan Brooks. And so that's the really the difference in the game here is that late-game situation. Dylan Brooks, you know, fouls DeMar DeRozan, and he converts to free throws, and that's the game.
Listen, I mean, what this comes down to is kind of what we said going in. This is a young team that was going to have to realize from the get-go that you were going to, you know, be in a situation where these teams were going to be coming after you, right? And what that meant was they kind of know. Look, Pop can tell the Spurs, even though it's not the usual version of the Spurs, look, this is go time. I mean, and obviously Portland realizes that. They can't afford not to, having been behind. But this is where we said, okay, the Grizzlies are going to see basically what amounts to a playoff game and a playoff mentality. And what it's led to, John, is some slow starts. You nailed it, and Taylor Jenkins has said it. They've looked solid, John, in coming back in the second half. Now, we'll get to closing out games. But they've come back in these second halves, have trailed in both. I think San Antonio, they were down by 5 mm-hmm. after Mills hits the three-pointer. It obviously ends up costing you, especially that Mills three-pointer, if you look how close that game was. And then with Portland, it's 68-60 at the half. Morant had made only one basket in the first half. And I think even despite the great numbers from Ja, John, in the first two games, that's why some people are saying, hey, wish we could get a little bit a more aggressive Ja early on. But that's the they're learning lessons, John, that we anticipated. Unfortunately, here's the thing. You had those lessons right in front of you, and there was a chance to overcome it, right, to still get at least one of the two games, get a win in your pocket in these first two, and you missed those opportunities. That said, look, you know, from a scoring standpoint, Ja and Jaren, you like what you've seen there. It's Dylan Brooks, really, as that third guy who frankly, you know, he thinks he's got it. He's shooting through it. He's trying to. But it's just amounted to right now, John, 13 of 36 overall and a lot of frustration. You add to that the foul at the end of the half and, at the end of the game that literally cost you the game. And it's easy right now to come down pretty hard on Dylan Brooks. And right, look, at this point in his career, with some of the shots he's taken, with some of the mistakes he's making in transition, it's right to be critical of Dylan Brooks today, I think, after the performance in the first two games. He can be better than that. You know, a lot of it, we've seen Dylan Brooks, you know, miss shots. And a lot of times you'll still get a great effort from him defensively. You know, Dylan is still in the game elsewhere. But for right now, too much of that game is missed shots, mistakes in transition. If he fixes that, you feel like you're winning those games going away. And so, again, and look, has he been the only one? No, you haven't gotten much from De'Anthony Melton, sort of in a new role, obviously. And there's plenty more to go around. But Dylan's been highlighted just because, I mean, John, look at the number of shots he's taken. And at this point, that's going to stand out when you're that off your game. And he has been these first two.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing for me is, like, I do come away a little bit.
16.
Yeah, I mean, I come away a little bit, you know, cynical about where he fits. Now, again, it's two games, and maybe you don't want to put too much into it, but you know, I mean, you're sort of operating as though he is going to be the third cog, right? I mean, you got John, right. You got Jaren, and you're certainly, when you give him that extension, you are hoping that Dylan Brooks is going to be that third piece. And for the majority of the season, yes, he has been that, but I don't know, like the decision making last night, even going back to the Portland game. I mean, there was some bad decision making there. I mean, he gets the charge call when he's just trying to force the issue yesterday. You know,
drops the shoulder.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Ja's killing.
Didn't feel like he needed to.
Ja's killing at that point. You know what I mean? Ja is the best player on the team. You know, and I feel like sometimes Dylan is about Dylan. And I think in that situation, he was. I mean, that was just a selfish play. He was trying to, you know, make something happen out of nothing. He ends up, you know, getting the charge. And then, you know, listen, things happen. Ish happens. You get caught in the air sometimes. You get called for the foul. That happens on the other end. But, I mean, am I saying that Dylan Brooks is the only reason why the Grizzlies lost these two games? Absolutely not. But he was a big reason why yesterday, certainly. And I don't know. Like, you're just thinking about the next 5 years with this team. And I know, maybe Jeff comes away, you know, super optimistic about it. And, I mean, there's no reason not to be optimistic about the Grizzlies. Let's be clear. I mean, Ja's putting up triple-doubles damn near. That's why I'm optimistic. But – like, is Dylan Brooks going to be a part of this thing in the long term? You know, is he going to be here? I mean, I don't know. To me, it's an interesting question.
Well, I think here's a reason that we can, you know, this is even when you talk about this conversation we're having on Dylan, makes it even more fair. It's really, John, four out of the five games that they've been down there. You know, two of the three scrimmage games, you had the number, what was he, 4 of 21
yep.
from the field. So it was more of the same, what, 3 of 12 from three. Did have the bounce-back game against Miami, and that's where you say, okay, that's the Dylan that this team absolutely needs. But that's the part of this, John. And really, and we've talked about this last week, some of this stuff has been since the contract signing. And we can go back and it's, okay, are you pressing too much? But or is it something else? But it's really at this point, when you've sort of watched what's been successful for this team with Ja and with Jaren, it feels like, John, on some nights, sure, Dylan Brooks can be the star, right? Can lead this team. But on most nights, that's Ja and Jaren. And I just feel right now that Dylan thinks it can be that every night. And maybe that's something to the point that you're making for down the road. Is this team sort of figures out whether, okay, is this a big three, as Dylan's referred to, or are we going to have to go in another direction? Because right now the third guy in that chain, you know, thinks of himself as maybe a little bit more than what we need him as. Now, that said, and look, Jeff put this well, part of his swagger and part of his game, his success, is Dylan Brooks thinking a lot of himself. Let's be real. He wouldn't be in the position if he's not. That confidence level, that swagger is part of what got him where he's at. Jeff's absolutely right about that. But now that you've played, you know, you see that you're ahead of schedule. You see how important these games are, and you see this team is really at its best when Ja is leading the way. Just the idea that you're still out there jacking John, it's a little bit discouraging, because you feel like, well, that part would be figured out. Hey, you miss that many shots. Hey, I got to do something else and let Ja lead the way. But too many times it's felt like Dylan has tried to lead the way with, you know, just whether forcefully or whatever else. Again, there will be nights where he's leading, but it's almost less a feel thing, John. You'd like that to be a feel thing rather than I'm going to go out there and lead the team tonight, particularly when those shots aren't dropping.
Well, I mean, that's yes. I mean, Dylan has this
that's
sort
the
of,
key.
You know, Dylan
shots
has
dropping, keep shooting. It's that simple. Shots dropping, keep shooting.
Well,
haven't been for four or five games down there, dude. I mean, even you, John, when the shots aren't dropping, you know, in the church league to pass that ball. And then to that point, Dylan, in these important games, is frustrating the mess out of you with some of those. So add to that the foul at the end, some of these mistakes in transition. And it's, it's been frustrating. But, again, it feels like we're saying he's the only reason when, frankly, we should have known this. We should have known it was probably going to be tough for this team to close out games if they've had the opportunity with how young they are. They're learning on the fly. They're ahead of schedule learning on the fly. And you've got to take that into perspective, into account as well.
Right. I mean, I know. I mean, you can tell. I mean, you can sense from Ja in the post game that he's frustrated. I mean, and I understand it. Taylor Jenkins said,
because they're so close.
Taylor Jenkins hinted yesterday that there's going to be a lineup change, which is just if you think back to when the regular season was, you know, before it was into Disney World, that would have been almost unfathomable. Like, what, Dylan Brooks is going to the bench for, you know, potentially Grayson Allen or whoever? I mean, But I mean, that, I feel like his play, you got to figure something out. And if he can't make shots for you, and he's not making shots for you, he really can't help you. I mean, because he was getting sort of blown by on defense yesterday too. I mean, that was the other thing. It's like it's not really necessarily just Dylan's offense either. I mean, he's not helping you too much on the defensive end. I mean, you know, DeMar DeRozan was cooking everybody. Really, I mean, he's cooking. He was handing out yesterday. Yeah. But
the one thing, not to interrupt you, but the one thing I'll say about that, and listen, it's a mistake you cannot make at the end of games. DeMar DeRozan has got to make that shot on his own. You can't help him there. But I mean, Dylan's desire, right, and ability in a lot of cases to guard the other team's best player. Like, I want that, John. I don't want the mistakes that come with it, but I want that. And yet, it clearly wasn't up to par yesterday, and he gets exposed. But more than that, it's taken 20 shots in a game that you're 1 of 7 from three. In a game where, you know, you've got more shots than Ja and Jaren, when Jaren, let's be real, from an offensive standpoint, he's been absolutely on fire. So even if I'm Dylan Brooks and I'm looking for Jaren. And so I think that's why we're frustrated, was we thought, you know, yes, you missed most of your second season, but we thought from a cerebral standpoint, right, from a game IQ standpoint, you'd be a little bit further along than you are. So it's a matter, I mean, I think that's what Taylor Jenkins is saying, John, quite frankly, in that, you know, suggesting there might be a lineup changes. Somebody's got to rein him in. Whether it's Taylor Jenkins, whether it's Ja Morant, you know, Dylan's going to be Dylan till you tell him different. And at this point, you've seen too much of it, you know, too much of this. Someone's got to rein him in. So if it's the threat of pulling him from the starting lineup, you know, whatever it takes at this point, mm-hmm. to get him in his right head, John, to get that mindset right, because it's off right now, a little bit too much forcing.
Yeah, and so we'll see what happens. Obviously, tonight is a big one. It's a big one for the Memphis Grizzlies.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's all right. It's all relative. I kind of feel like the Grizzlies are the bug and the Lakers, or excuse me, yeah, the Grizzlies are the bug and the Lakers are going to be the windshield, even if the Grizzlies do hold on to the eighth spot. I mean, that is the one thing, like the whole sort of, let's just see if the Grizzlies can put up a fight against the, No.
Well, it's stopping Anthony Davis. That, yeah. You look at. I mean, especially with the way, look, yeah. Jonas has been great offensively and on the boards,
yeah.
But he is lumbering in terms of getting in.
Well, yeah, he's not even closing games, and I understand.
Defensively, if you can't hold Poeltl, how are you going to hold Anthony Davis?
Correct. So, I understand that a lot of teams go that way. A lot of teams tend to go smaller, more athletic at the end of games, but. Yes, like I am sort of throwing out all possibilities, all hopes that the Grizzlies are going to put up a fight with the Lakers, even if they do end up holding on to the. I believe they will, but it won't be pretty. But tonight you've got a big one. You've got a big one against the Pelicans. That's going to be at 5:30 on ESPN. Pelicans.
They got their own problems.
Oh, yeah. They do. Yeah, they certainly do.
Big time.
And you know, you sort of aren't really worried about them anymore. You sort of have turned your focus entirely to the Blazers at this point. But it's still a big one in terms of, this is a team that's constructed a lot like you. They're young like you. They're hungry like you. And so it's a good sort of litmus test, maybe not necessarily for right now, but just, you know, the future, the next 2 to 4 years of development. So it'll be an interesting game for sure.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm having fun watching Zion be frustrated with the minutes restriction. You know what? You know, he's played 29 minutes, 14 and a half minutes per game in these two, and no, you're not going to play him in a blowout loss against the Clippers. But we talked ad nauseum on Friday about, you know, holding him out down the stretch versus Utah. This is clearly a kid who's frustrated. And right now, the reasoning is, well, because he was outside of the bubble, we want to handle him with bubble wrap right now. But if you're Zion and you're in a game tonight against a Memphis team that, if you're him, you're looking at and saying, well, that's the team I've won. I've had this circled for some time. And Alvin Gentry, who suggested they could stick with this 15, how frustrated would you be going into a game like this where clearly, I mean, you know, I saying it's a must win feels like a little bit of a, you know, going too far feels like a little bit of an exaggeration here with the Grizzlies having the lead. But that's essentially what it is for two teams that have come down here. They're 0-2. And in the Grizzlies case, they've had a chance to win. So from that standpoint, I'm enjoying sort of this back and forth between the Pelicans, Zion, and sort of that coaching staff and front office of, how do you play him? How do you work him in this? I bet the Pelicans feel like they should be able to beat the Grizzlies without him. But I tell you what, Zion Williamson, you could tell NFL wants to be on that floor. And so I'm interested to see, do they stick to the script, the 15-minute restriction tonight, or is he a part of the game? Does that increase as they go forward? Because, again, remember, what they're saying is this isn't his knees right now or the future, which it, in the grand scheme of things, it probably is. They're saying this is because he was out, you know, for the emergency and out of the bubble, so we're trying to work him back. And tonight, you're going to do that for a third game? You know, John, in an opportunity now where you've lost your first two, the rest of your games are against opponents with below 500 record, it's not go time right now. Well, you know, maybe it never was for the Pelicans. I'm curious to see what happens with him tonight. Though we know, you know, with Holiday, with the team they've got, Brandon Ingram, that they can win without Zion. They just haven't, you know, it hasn't looked so good without him so far. But they're certainly capable of that, John. I just suspect it's been a mess without him as they try to figure things out earlier. They've looked, you know, in terms of problems and what you thought going into the bubble, and now that we've had the first two games, they're the ones with the most questions in terms of the Grizzlies and the Pelicans. They're the ones with the most questions around them right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to get super worked up about must win for what, right? Must win for what? I mean, at this point, what are you playing for? I mean, it's you're ahead of schedule. That was true before the resumption. It's true after the resumption. It's not about this year. It was never about this year. If you get a playoff out of it, great. But at the end of the day, it's not like you're going to be able to go watch them. I think that was the biggest thing, is like we looked forward to the idea of being able to go down to FedEx Forum in April and watch playoff basketball inside FedEx Forum. Well, it's not happening. So it doesn't really – the only way it matters is it's just playoff experience for a very, very young team that did not expect to get it this soon. But to me, as I've said time and time again, this entire season has basically been a playoff because they've been fighting to hold on to eight. And I don't really care what happens whether you hold on to eight or nine. If you do hold on to it, then you got to play the Lakers. That's not really relevant to me what happens after that. It's just, do you hold on to it or do you not? So to me, the intensity for this team has pretty much been there since mid-February, since the trade deadline. So they've been playing playoff games since then. And so I think it's all gravy. It's all gravy. And no, I mean, it's not looked great since this all started back up. But I'm not. And no game for the rest of the season is a must-win for the Memphis Grizzlies. As far as, even if they get to a play-in tournament, it's not a must-win. It doesn't change anything. It doesn't change the trajectory in any way whatsoever for this team.
No, the good part is that the lessons have already started. It's a young team. You're right. I mean, again, big picture here. You're ahead of schedule. But the good part is the lessons have already begun. Like now, you know, what, two games in to these what are essentially eight playoff games for the Grizzlies, that you've got something with Dylan Brooks where Taylor – this is a teaching moment for Taylor Jenkins and maybe the future, like, of this nucleus and whether it's going to work. Can you rein Dylan Brooks in a situation where the games and the stakes are – where it matters this much? And you're right, John, you know – in terms of playing the Lakers and that series and how far it goes, well, no. But in terms of learning and staying ahead of the curve, right? You're ahead of schedule in terms of staying there. What's great for the Grizzlies is that these lessons have already started, right? You could have been looking at an end of the season, you know, alternative scenario. There's no pandemic, all that. Well, these games don't matter much down the stretch. You know, mm-hmm. How much are you even playing Ja down the stretch in a season that doesn't matter much? Instead, you're getting these lessons, close games against teams like the Portland Trailblazers, who Western Conference Finals last year. You're getting important lessons. You're getting important situations to learn from that are clearly going to benefit this team going forward. You can find out some things about yourself. Again, is this three going to work? Getting glimpses at that early, and that is the value of this. It adds to the disappointment level that these games were so close, but if you pull back and look big picture, I mean, you're sitting here, Memphis could have won both games, could be sitting here having extended the lead. Man, what a good situation to be in if you're a Memphis Grizzlies fan. Yes, disappointing that they were so close and you could have pulled them out, but you're happy that you're in this situation in the first place and still got a chance, John, to hold on to it and get that playoff series with the Lakers. So it's all still there in front of you. That's what you're encouraged by.
Yep. All right. We will come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Jason Fitz is going to join us in the next second. We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies, about the NBA, college sports. Interesting news there with a boycott from the Pac-12. All that and more when we come back. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
She serves too. Women make up about 16% of the American Armed Forces, and they've got a story to tell.
From what it's like to wear the nation's military uniform and break glass ceilings while in the military to transitioning to civilian life when their tour of duty is complete. Stay connected to the unique perspective of female veterans at ConnectingVets.com.
Whether you were a soldier, sailor, airman, or Marine,
ConnectingVets.com.
The Grizz are back in action. Catch the games at Elbow, where you will find the best handmade burgers from locally sourced beef, turkey, and black bean patties. And right now, they have Grizz Fever. Special burger and draft combos like the Grizz. Double meat, double cheese, double bacon. It's a real triple-double. Plus the three-pint play. That's three cold pints for $10. And the always great burger of the day. So catch the Grizz in action at Elbow. The Grizzlies, food and fun at Elbow. 2021 Madison, just west of Overton Square.
Hi, this is Wes McClooney, owner of the New Balance Memphis store. It's back to school, and I have an announcement for your children's feet. Okay, feet, this school year you need to help our children stand strong. You need to support them as they transition to a new type of environment, whether they're learning at school or learning online. They need new shoes to help give them the energy and endurance to learn, run, and play under unusual circumstances. They need New Balance shoes. They're designed specifically for younger feet with cutting-edge technology, and they come in some pretty cool colors, too. And when you shop at the New Balance Memphis store, our in-store fit experts will scan and measure your feet, resulting in a shoe that fits you perfectly. Come to the New Balance Memphis store to get the exact fit you need and help support your local store. We'll treat you right. Stop by and give us a chance to earn your business. New Balance Memphis. Located in the Cordova Town Center on Germantown Parkway behind the Outback Steakhouse. New Balance Memphis. Your feet will thank you.
As you get back to business, small things can make a big difference. Like marking safe distances with floor tape and posting reminders to wash hands. As always, Grainger is here to help. Offering supplies and solutions for every industry. Free access to product specialists, 24/7 support, safety recovery guides, and more. It's part of our commitment to help you adapt and recover in these challenging times. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For muscle pain, body aches, to strains, Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis. It works fast and you won't stink. Its unique formula with emu oil penetrates deep to relieve arthritis pain, sore muscles, joints, and more.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Due to the sudden downturn of the U.S. economy, there's never been a better time to check your eligibility for the Fresh Start programs offered by the IRS to reduce or even eliminate your IRS tax problems. Call our special hotline number and find out in minutes if you qualify for these life-changing debt reduction programs green-lighted by the IRS for the summer of 2020. Business or personal, if you're in a payment plan with no end in sight, have unfiled tax returns, under audit, have a wage or bank levy, or finally, just want to know your options, call the experts at Republic Tax Relief and stop collections immediately. A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau with a 5-star rating from Yelp, this veteran-owned company has the fight you need to take on the IRS. Don't go it alone. Call their hotline number now, 800-785-7188. That's 800-785-7188. Check your eligibility for tax debt savings today. Call 800-785-7188 or go to republictaxrelief.com.
Go back in time with Radio.com Rewind. And just so you know, no DeLorean necessary. All you need is the Radio.com app. You can pause and rewind your favorite news and sports stations when you listen on Radio.com and the Radio.com app. Take a short trip 15 seconds back, start your favorite show over, or travel a whole 24 hours back in time. Great Scott! Radio.com Rewind will change the way you listen to radio forever. Yeah, that sounds like hype, but we're serious. Check it out and time travel today. Radio.com Rewind. Plutonium optional.
Injured? Dial pound 529 on your cell. Pound law, that's all.
Yeah. You feel it, baby?
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN, and every Monday around this time, we talk to the man, the myth, the legend, Jason Fitz. Let's do it.
It's ESPN's Jason Fitz, and hear him now, live with Jason and John.
Mr. Fitz, how you doing, man?
I'm living that dream now that we got sports going on, and
Everybody seems to be happy. At least we're closer, man. Life almost feels normal.
Almost, except for the fact that Jason and I are not allowed to be in the same studio.
In my kitchen.
We haven't been in the same studio since this all happened. So it's actually really weird. It's really you guys are in the same studio when you're doing the morning show, right?
No. So when you watch Go Look at Wingo before that ended, obviously that was at Senior's house because they, made a specialized setup. But for example, like typically when I do First Take Your Take, when I was doing that, I was apart from everybody else. And then this morning I was on with L. Duncan for the morning show, and I'll be on for the next couple of weeks. But that is all done distanced. Yeah, we're not, we're still not in studio together. So I think the hope is that on August 17th, when we see the new lineup come out, some of the shows will make their return, but they're being so cautious of putting anybody back on campus. Why put anybody else at risk? So the company's being particularly cautious. So I'm with you. It feels weird to not be in the same room.
Yeah. And there are certainly bigger things than being in the same studio. But I miss my partner. I just miss, looking across the table and seeing him there. And it's just different. It's just different. But we'll get through it. We'll figure it all out. Lots to get to, Fitz. The bubble itself. Let's just start with the NBA. I think what we are learning. Listen, I was skeptical. I was skeptical when this all happened. I was hopeful, but I was just, we've been beaten down so much by 2020. I was like, there's no way that this is going to work. I mean, this is just such a massive effort, such a massive thing to try to pull off. There's just no way that everybody's going to buy in and do what they need to do and be able to have a season, finish a season. But honestly, it looks like we are going to have a finish to a season. No positive tests in the last two rounds of the bubble. What do you make of just the NBA's, ability to do this, the buy-in? And did you think this was actually possible?
Yeah, the buy-in is the biggest part of it. I didn't really – I mean, if you're asking me whether or not I thought all the players would be up for just staying distance, that's a really tough ask. And I do think over time – what's going to separate the teams, the winners from the rest, and this is going to be which rosters and sort of relationships are there with their coaches where they can keep normalcy in their brains, because I think that's the toughest part of it. So is it sustainable? That I'm a little worried about. But for right now, you're 1,000,000% right. I mean, the fact is the NBA, not only have they given us a bubble, but to their credit, they've given us a bubble where every time we turn the page with a dilemma, they've got it solved. So, that to me in and of itself is a reason why this is being – successful, and players are obviously taking it seriously. And what's happening right now is the NBA, at the very least, is giving us a blueprint. If God forbid this becomes a multi-year thing, I think the NBA is showing every league right now, hey, and the NHL, frankly, they're both showing every league that, look, there is an answer out there. There's a solution. It's called a bubble.
Fitzy, has anything you've seen so far in these games, and look, it's early in the seeding games, has anything changed what you've thought about in terms of who's going to win it, in terms of who's in the Western Conference and Eastern Conference Finals? I mean, Houston's look good. Has that changed the way we feel about an all-LA Western Conference Final? What have you thought so far?
That's a really good question, and I don't think so because I'm trying to be a little hesitant on making any big sweeping generalizations, but I have been really surprised, guys, by the lack of defense. I mean, I know that, and we joked about it this morning on the morning show, everybody's making a big deal about Harden getting three stops at the end, and they were significant stops. But you're still talking about a game that was, 120 to 116? I mean, everybody said coming back into the bubble that defense is going to be so easy to pull together that we'd see better defense in the beginning, and I'm just not seeing that. I mean, we're seeing tired legs, guys. Like, we're seeing legs that can't get out to the perimeter to defend shooters. So, that's been the most surprising thing in the bubble to me. So let's see if everybody gets that aligned, because certainly the Rockets do. I mean, 21-61 shooting up threes, that's dangerous. I'm sorry, they're shooting with such confidence. I mean, I know that percentage may not be great, but they'll fling them up all day, every day, and that's scary for the rest of the league.
Yeah, we are, of course, talking to Jason Fitz. He joins us every single Monday here on the show. Ja Morant continues to be an absolute – I mean, is it too early to call him a superstar? Is it too early?
No, not at all. I mean, and look, I don't think we're saying it enough. There has to be some level of, I understand cautious optimism when you're talking about 1 year in the NBA, but that's not the way we approach it anymore. Look at the way expectations are heaped on, and I'll always go back to, even before the draft, I know it made headlines at the time, but my buddy Sean Farnham was on with us on one of the shows, and Farnham said, look, I think John Morant's going to have a better, longer career as a pro than Zion has, and he got destroyed for saying that. I mean, people were absolutely wrecking him for it. And I think if there's anything that we've learned in his time in Memphis is that, like, this wasn't just a Murray State kid that came out and did right? This is somebody that's incredibly, incredibly gifted. His ability to slash through and make his own shot is just phenomenal, and we're seeing it time and time again. He's not only a superstar, but I think he's the type of player that other guys are going to want to play with. And so, you know, I think this is exactly what the Grizzlies hope for. This is best-case scenario. They got somebody they can build around for the next decade.
What I got to ask you, because I've enjoyed watching them. I'll be real honest with you, Fitz. I didn't think much of it coming into the bubble. But the Toronto Raptors, and just whether it's the chemistry they play with, right? I mean, obviously when Kawhi leaves, you kind of take them off the list in terms of contenders. But the way Lowry's playing, their chemistry, I've had a good time watching Toronto. What do you think about that team and its chances?
Yeah, and you know, I was just trashing defense, but if there's any team that lives and dies by it coming into the bubble, it's Toronto. And the funny thing is, if you look at some of their metrics last year versus this year, you know, a championship defense, I know they lost Kawhi, but they're actually better on a lot of their scoring metrics, their turnover metrics. They're essentially, by most of the advanced stats, they're the second-best defense in the league. Pick which stat you want to take. So they're playing great defense, and Pascal Siakam has become sort of the guy that can lead that team. You mentioned Lowry, and I think the real difference there is also coaching. So you've got a culture that knows how to win a championship on a team that knows how to pay attention to the little details. And if you're a Toronto fan, you've been yelling that nobody's paying attention, and probably rightfully so. Look, I still think, all things being all things, if you give equal benefit of the doubt across the board, the Bucks are a better team than the Raptors right now. But what we saw last year that happened to the Bucks in the playoffs is still stuck in people's mind, and now you see the Raptors playing in a way that people haven't been paying attention to. So it's shifting the narrative. I still think the Bucks are the best team. But if the Raptors go on a run, I don't think that'll shock anybody.
You know, I'll tell you this. I was watching, I was watching the Grizzlies-Spurs game yesterday, and the Spurs are, you know, seven games under 500 now, but they are, they did beat the Grizzlies, and they've now have put themselves in at least some kind of position, some striking distance to at least get a chance to make the playoffs. And I found myself thinking that I don't feel like we appreciate Pop enough. Like, you look at that team that he's rolling out there, I know like two dudes, you know, and I watch basketball, and I know two dudes. Like, he's got this dude he picked up from LA Fitness last week. He's got, like, some guy named Keldon Johnson, you know, this lumbering big. And somehow, and again, 29-36 is not necessarily something to give somebody flowers for, but just the sheer fact that they are in contention for that eight spot. I mean, Pop is, I mean, he's got to be considered in any sport one of the best to ever do it, right?
Oh, my God, yeah. And, you know, I was just saying that I think in the bubble, coaching matters more than ever. And it's a little bit about your relationship with your players, because you're going to have to be able to keep them engaged. It's a little bit about the culture you've created, and it's also about your ability to react on the fly. And, you know, one of the things we all appreciate about the NCAA tournament is the beginnings especially are such quick turnarounds. And you start thinking about the pace that – with which you got to prep. And that's something that I just think Pop has built a staff that's better capable to do. So he knows how to get to his players. He knows how to get the most out of his players. And you're right. I mean, if you were just playing NBA 2K and you were handed Pop's roster, you'd look at your buddies and just quit, right? Like, you throw the controller and say, I'm not playing. And instead, Pop's like, all right, cool. We'll find a way to get into the playoffs. And look, there's a lot of things that are between, obviously, the Spurs and the playoffs. But I don't think it takes anything away from the lack of a roster compared to the ability for Pop to maximize it. So you're 1,000% right. You're talking about greatness that we don't respect enough.
Other than DeMar DeRozan, like, if you just showed me that roster, like, you stripped away the name of the team and you take away DeMar DeRozan and you show me that roster on paper, I'm like, huh, man, Olympiacos has a great roster this year. Like, the good for them. You know, that's a great team in Greece. And yet somehow, I mean, this is going to be, we'll see. I mean, obviously they're going to be under 500, so that streak will be snapped. But the idea that this dude has only had one other, I mean, through all of his years in the league, he has only had one other losing season, and it was his first year on the freaking job. I mean, who do you even compare him to? I mean, Belichick? I mean, is that the kind of company he's in?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, and, you know, it's almost just taken for granted. And one of the things that really, I think, signifies what that roster looks like is look at the money that's being spent. Because right now they're essentially spending money on DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge. That's the only two players currently that they're really spending any substantial amount on. The rest of these guys are all guys, to your point, that are making essentially $2-4 million. Like, there's just not a lot there that you look over and say, oh, my God, now that's the team to build. And And that is, you mentioned the Patriots comparison. I think that's why people look at it. Like, the Patriot way is don't pay too much for talent, let talent go too early, and just rely on your system. Doesn't that sort of speak to what we are used to seeing from the Spurs? So, yeah, I think it's a fair comparison. And, you know, there's been a lot about this era of NBA basketball that I think we underappreciate in the moment, especially because everything's become only about championships. I think that historically we're going to look back in 20 years and we're going to talk about Pop in a much different light.
Fitz, NFL side, did you expect this many players to opt out? And I guess the bigger question than that even is, do you think the NFL expected this? It looks like maybe they've been caught off guard.
Yeah, no, I mean, the answer is oh, heck no, and oh, heck no. I mean, right, there's a spot here where I think the NFL, the reason they're clamoring to move the opt-out date up is because they realize that they're getting stuck. And this is one of the things that I think is the scariest about coming into the fall. What are we going to do? Obviously, opt-outs are one thing, but what are we going to do if a Doug Peterson, God forbid, tests positive for COVID-19 the night before a game? I mean, how far does that trickle down? Are we really going to sit the head coach and the quarterback and the offensive coordinator and the passing game coordinator? Like, we're going to do all that the night before a game? And, you know, I'd love to say yes, but, man, I think the NFL is looking around and they're a little stunned by how many players have said, nah, I'm good. And, frankly, if you're financially in a position where you can do that, why not do it? I mean, if you're not worried about your finances moving forward and you say, okay, I'm going to walk away from the game because we don't even know if we're going to play a full season, I'll wait, I'll keep my health, and I'll make sure that I'm not one of the people, God forbid, that sustains any sort of COVID-19 or an injury this year. And, you know, you start looking at what the Red Sox are dealing with, you know, when you've got a young player with now what could be a permanent heart condition, we don't know, right? So if I'm a player right now and I have the means, I'm not playing. I'm looking around saying, why risk it if I can come back in a year? And I'm surprised by how many players have had that mentality and how much a reminder we've been given that this isn't just a league about teams. It's not just a league about stars. There's a lot of people that are opting out that are going to have a massive impact on the season.
Yeah, it's interesting. Go ahead, Jay.
I was going to ask if you're the – go ahead, John. Did you have a follow on that?
Yeah, I was going to say I find it a little interesting that it's mostly been like non-skilled – like no quarterbacks yet, right? And really only just a small number of skill position players offensively. Like, I would guess if you broke it down by position, it would mostly be, what, 80 to 85% of these are coming on the defensive side of the ball? Like, I wonder what the correlation is there. Why is it mostly on the defensive side of the ball? I don't know. And there are some offensive linemen, but only one or two running backs, certainly one or two wide receivers. Most of it's coming on that side of the ball. It's kind of find it interesting.
Well, look, I'd say this. Running backs know that their shelf life is already so limited that if you take a year off, I mean, the league may have forgotten about you. Wide receivers, we all know, have sort of a God complex ego thing going on where they think they're untouchable anyway. And quarterbacks have a different level of pressure on them to the decisions they make. I mean, guys, I'm stunned at this point that Stafford hasn't opted out. He has COVID-19, or at least he's on the COVID-19 list. So either has it or he's come in contact with somebody that has it. His wife is a cancer survivor that just had a baby. Like, yep. I think, you know, I'm a little stunned we haven't seen a quarterback do that, especially a quarterback that's set to make good money that knows that he could just take the year and come back. They're going to press pause on your contract. So you're still going to be stuck with that cash against the cap moving forward. So I'm stunned we haven't seen a quarterback have it happen yet. But to your point, I think you start looking at the mentality behind certain positions, and it sort of explains. You're a linebacker. You're looking around. You're like, nah, I'm swat. I know what I'm up against. Nope, I'm good. I'm out. So I think it's just a different mentality.
If you are a team, a contender, like the Baltimore Ravens or someone that feels like it's close to you, do you take a chance on an Antonio Brown who obviously has got the 8-game suspension, but you're going to have him, it feels like, for at least part of it? What would you do, Fitzy, if you're the Ravens? You take him?
No, I mean, I can't justify touching him unless I know that my locker room is perfect. And maybe the Ravens have that. And when you have Harbaugh, you have somebody that's obviously created some culture there that is working, but I keep looking. It's not even about the Raiders side of it. Like, if you can't make it work with Brady and Belichick, then you can't make it work. Like, if at some point you got to look at and say the scariest thing about Antonio Brown is that one day he retires on social media, the next day he says, hurry the investigation up. And that, to me, speaks to the lack of stability that there's still there. And you got to have somebody you can rely on every single day. I just don't know how, if I ran a franchise, I would feel good relying on Antonio Brown. And maybe you get a few weeks out of him that are good to go, but – man, outside of that, I just wouldn't be – I wouldn't be willing to take the risk.
Baseball's having all kinds of issues. What do you think, Fitzy? Do they make it to the end?
No, I don't think they make it to the end. And I'm just a little stunned, guys. I'm a little stunned that they didn't have better processes in place. I mean, having expanded rosters was supposed to mean that if something like this happened, that you could move forward. But instead, all we're seeing are more postponements and possible cancellations. And, you know, this is a reminder that whatever plan they had wasn't well thought out. And now you have, you know, the commissioner, Rob Manfred, coming out and speaking out against players, saying that they need to do their part. But he has yet to identify where this outbreak actually started. And until Major League Baseball can tell us where the source of this was, how can they tell us who's to blame? So how do we know it wasn't being on a charter or playing in a game? Like, we don't know any of that. And so, you know, Rob Manfred's presuming that the players are to blame. The players are presuming the league's to blame. And yet again, none of them are getting along. They're not on the same page. And it feels like everybody's worried about blaming instead of fixing. And until we get an answer of where it came from, how it originated, then I can't be confident it won't happen again. So I don't have any faith in Major League Baseball as a sport to continue through this season.
Just a few more things, Fitz. The other bit of big news over the weekend was what's happening in the Pac-12. You know, we've seen over the last several months, whether it's, you know, Confederate flags, whether it's statues, you know, Black Lives Matter, athletes are recognizing now, especially at the college level, more and more that they have a voice and that their voice does indeed matter. And in the Pac-12 over the weekend, basically a good portion of the Pac-12 players on the football side said, we are not going to play unless X, Y, and Z of our demands are met. Now, some of those demands are, you got to feel like, unreasonable in the sense of like actually happening, like 50% of revenue going to the players. I mean, that would require an entire system being broken down, and maybe that happens, and I think it should, but I'm skeptical about it. What did you think though of the movement, and what change do you think it will bring about?
Well, you're totally right that some of these things I think are unattainable, but it opens the door to a conversation. And I think part of having the unattainable demands there is that if you're going to go to the table with something like this in a negotiation, go with everything, because you're not going to be able to add things later, right? So throw it all out on the table, which is what they're doing. But I think the most empowering thing about it is that I myself and a lot of others have presumed that college football players without a union could never have a voice. And what we're realizing now is that, kind of like the movie Ants, they're realizing we don't have to go in order. We don't have to do what you guys are saying. We can choose not to play. And if they choose not to play, what's the recourse? You're going to take their scholarship away? Okay, well, even if you take their scholarship away, then A, many of them may be able to transfer, but B, those that are ready for the NFL or want to play in the NFL can simply go get ready for the draft. The NFL's still going to draft you, right? So, you know, I'm looking across the board saying what's the most impressive to me is that college football players have realized that they actually have some power in this. And I could see a world, I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I could see a world where college football players, if they're really passionate about this, simply say, fine, I won't play. And if suddenly you end up where Oregon wants to play Oregon State and all the players say, nah, we're not going to do it. I mean, that's all the change it takes, because financially the schools aren't ready for the hit. So, I mean, the kids aren't taking a hit either. What, are they losing their scholarship? I mean, a lot of them can figure that out, or, you know, they'll go on with their lives. The schools, I don't know how they'll continue football. So I think the players have more leverage than we presumed, even though they don't have a union.
Well, and here's the other thing, too. If a coach, you know, wants to step in the way of an athlete, you know, voicing their opinion or whatever the case may be, that coach will never get a decent player again. I mean, that's the other thing you have to be totally aware of, is that if you try to stand in the way of a guy expressing his freedom of speech. Now, we know that freedom of speech in this country does not come without consequences, but this is one of those where it's just obvious. These are obvious things. People have been fighting for, you know, players get paid for decades now. You want to be the coach that stands in the way of that, it's going to be tough for you to manage moving forward. And maybe Washington State's coach is going to get a little bit of a taste of that. Fitz, man, we appreciate the time as always, man. You're the best in the business.
Thank you, Fitz.
You guys stay safe, man. Appreciate you having me. And let's get Memphis into the playoffs so we can keep talking about them. I love it.
Yeah, we're trying,
That's
man.
What I'm talking
Thanks,
about.
Fitz.
All right, thanks, guys.
Yep, he is Jason Fitz. Joins us every single Monday here on the show. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, When the protests were going on in June, Jason, and I don't even mean to be cynical. I don't even mean to be skeptical. But it was almost like if you didn't, as a coach, release a statement in support of the protests and Black Lives Matter, then you would absolutely be ostracized and you would be singled out, and you know that it would hurt you PR-wise. So it just, to me, it fell a little bit on deaf ears when every coach in America just kind of fell in line with, oh, we support, when, like, do you really? Like, I those are just the questions I have. Like, how many coaches really, truly, at the heart of it, sincerely support it, and how many coaches are just saying it because they know what the consequences would be if they didn't?
I mean, it's a good point, John. If you're gonna, you know, if you're not really in it, right? If you're not really 2 feet in on this, you better be a darn good actor. Because I tell you what, those that aren't, you run the risk of if you're recruiting. If the majority of the student athletes that you're recruiting are African American, you think that's not going to go? Look
yep.
at who's the Washington State football coach that right now is a headline.
Yep.
Because he even, you know, he told the wide receiver that. If you join a unity group, hey,
yep.
it may be an issue for us. The Washington Nick Rolovich is his name. It's new news that's out there. You're gonna be the subject of a headline. But more importantly, though, right? You say you care about those student athletes that you're recruiting. Do you really? I mean, you're gonna get shown up for what you are if you aren't. Like you better be a darn good actor. Again, if you're not fully in this with your heart and your beliefs. And again, I'm not saying, John, that's not to say that you can't believe what you want in this country. But that, again, being the leader of a predominantly African-American football team, these coaches are going to be in these spots where they're going to have to answer one way or the other, and how you feel is going to come out. And so, again, we saw the situation with Mike Norvell, where it obviously you start out, you're talking to all of them. Hey, he didn't talk to all of them. You know, you're getting checked. You know, and that's the thing, to the point that the question you asked Fitzy, and it feels like with the NCAA right now, is these student athletes are finding out that, you know what, I got a lot more power than I thought I had a year ago. Got a lot more power than I thought I had 6 months ago. I got a lot more leverage than maybe the NCAA thought we had. And John, they're finding that out, and they're using it, and they're holding these coaches accountable. So you've, as a coach, you got to know that's coming and be prepared.
Yep. All right. We will come back. Lots more to come. George Sedano is going to join us at 12:25. Back in a minute, Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Consumer investigator Andy Wise here. I've always warned you against third-party extended warranties or service plans. They can leave you high and dry without any of the protections you paid for. You should trust a local service company's maintenance plan instead. I've checked them out, and the best one in the Mid-South is the Choate's HVAC Fam Plan. Lauren Choate's here. Lauren, tell us about the Fam Plan.
Andy, think of the Choate's Fam Plan like your family buying a membership to our family's consumer protection.
Like what?
Like a 40-point heating and air inspection twice a year with 20% off your parts and repairs and up to 2 pounds of Freon every year.
Anything else?
Try a 95-point plumbing inspection with an annual free drain cleaning.
Okay, here's where the Choate's Fan Plan really gets me. You drop all service charges with the Fan Plan.
Yep.
And Choate's Fan Plan members get priority service from the line with all the benefits of your longer warranty.
Right, for just $24.99 a month.
Folks, this is the most consumer-friendly maintenance plan in the market. The Choate's Fan Plan puts your family first.
Learn more at Choate's HVAC.com, and remember, let our family serve your family.
Go back in time with Radio.com Rewind. And just so you know, no DeLorean necessary. All you need is the Radio.com app. You can pause and rewind your favorite news and sports station when you listen on Radio.com and the Radio.com app. Take a short trip 15 seconds back, start your favorite show over, or travel a whole 24 hours back in time. Great Scott! Radio.com Rewind will change the way you listen to radio forever. Yeah, that sounds like hype, but we're serious. Check it out and time travel today. Radio.com Rewind. Plutonium optional.
Frontier Western Store is open and ready to serve you for all your needs in boots, apparel, pet food, and more. Frontier is proud to be a local leader here in the Mid-South when it comes to boots. Stop by the store today for an incredible selection of name brand work and dress boots. Come browse aisles and aisles of top quality boots at everyday low prices in their world-famous boot showroom. Dan Post, Rocky, Durango, Twisted X, Georgia, Ariat, and many more. There's so many styles, colors, and fits available, you might need a hand picking out your favorites. Luckily, Frontier's knowledgeable sales staff will cheerfully assist you with any questions you have and ensure the proper fit of your new boots. Frontier also has an amazing selection of jeans and shirts by Wrangler, Ariat, and Carhartt, as well as a fully stocked women's boutique department with thousands of tops and dresses at unbelievable prices. New arrivals often. Frontier Western Store, 5880 Goodman Road in Olive Branch, and on the web at frontierwesternstore.com. Family owned and operated since 1967.
Hey, listeners, it's Chris Murphy with Inman Murphy Termite and Pest Control. Once again, here to welcome you to exceptional service. I'd like to show you why your friends and neighbors think we're a five-star company. Give us a call today. We can take care of everything from termites, mosquitoes, ants, whatever bothers you, we've got it. Give us a call today at 388-0852. That's 388-0852. And we also specialize in bed bugs. Did I mention bed bugs? Give us a call or check us out on the web at inman-murphy.com.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Oil change coming up? We can help you out. Right now, you can get 5 quarts of Pennzoil High Mileage Motor Oil and an STP oil filter for just $27.99. And if you need it fast, we can help you get it fast. Whether it's at home with our next day delivery or in-store and curbside with our free same-day pickup. The choice is yours. Getting the job done just got easier. Restrictions and details at AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
The motto for world-class competition has always been faster, higher, stronger. It's the same for Navien, makers of condensing tankless water heaters. Faster to install and set up. Higher performance and efficiency to provide endless hot water. Stronger with the industry's strongest warranty. All because of the copper-free stainless steel heat exchanger built in every unit. Learn about Navien's condensing tankless water heaters and find a Navien contractor at tanklessmadesimple.com. That's tanklessmadesimple.com.
On August the 10th, get a free Egg McMuffin on the McDonald's app. No purchase necessary. Breakfast hours only at participating McDonald's.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
Up everybody, the bottom line. I'm a black intellect, but I'm refined. We precision like the bullet, target bound. Just living like a hookup, the Harlem slam. Now, when I say the Harlem, you know I need the hot.
It was a big sports day yesterday because you had the Grizzlies on, you had Major League Baseball on, and then you had the wrap of the WGC down there at TPC Southwind, which was actually quite dramatic, Jason. It was a quite dramatic finish there down at Southwind, which is great. I mean, you want drama. And Justin Thomas, who is, I can confirm, number one in the world. He's the number one ranked golfer in the world.
He is now. That's right.
He took it down yesterday. Justin Thomas won his third event of this particular PGA Tour season. And that's great because he's a name. He's a name. He's one of the hottest golfers in all of golf. And I think it's a good thing for, you know, that particular event. Because I'm going to be honest with you. Like, it is such a Memphis thing to have some dude who nobody's heard of get hot and win the event. I don't care about Brendan Todd. I don't care about the cat from Ireland or wherever he was from. I don't really care if Daniel Berger wins this event for the third time. You want star-studded. You want names. You want marquee names. It feels like we get the great stories every other year. I feel like we've had our fill of the Daniel Bergers of the world winning this event. We need somebody with a big name to win this event, so it attracts other big names to do it. And that happened yesterday. Justin Thomas won the WGC FedEx St. Jude Invitational, and we look forward to having Tiger next year.
Did you have him on the back patio after the win? He did. This was historic. At 27, I don't know if you realize this, John, he's the third youngest player in history to get to 13 PGA Tour wins since Tiger and Jack. So he's up there in big-time territory. Did you get to invite him, have him over to the house after the win?
No, he was a little busy. He was a little busy, understandably so. But I was just, like I said, I was happy to see, because, again, it was quite dramatic there at the end. I mean, you had Daniel Berger, Tom Lewis, Phil Mickelson, Brooks Koepka.
Phil was up there, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so it was
you got
pretty...
everything you wanted, except the gallery. Except that's
right.
The part for
right.
me. I mean, look. Here's the thing about this. It's a top 50 event now, and whether you or I are familiar with the names, John, these are the best golfers in the world. And so, for the most part, you're going to have great golf, and you're going to have a stud golfer winning it on most occasions. Now, we're not the typical golf fan that's going to recognize every name. That said,
yeah. This
is huge for our city. And from that standpoint, I think I read before the tournament started from over at the CA that typically last year this tournament did between 40 and 50 million for the Memphis economy in terms of all the hotels. hotels, all the people coming into town, all the people out there spending, the gallery, which was obviously missing this weekend, and made, you know, in terms of in-person experience, it changed everything. And you even saw Thomas allude to that. I hope, John, that we are, that's my take from this, that we're, I appreciate everybody that helped keep that thing together this year, your role, but it's, the hope is that all that hard work continues to pay off, and next year you've got it, you know, fully appreciated by a gallery that can be there, and the money, all of the money, to that point. Is there economic impact off having it? Absolutely. But to the degree that you had last year, no. And that's my hope, John, is that we're in a better place with this pandemic, that next year you can have it out there and it's fully appreciated. The TV experience, I tuned in a little bit over the weekend, wasn't much different. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like it was much different at all, other than the distanced interviews and all that. Like, you could see the difference. You can see people in masks. But in terms of, you know, missing the gallery oohs and ahs, I didn't as much. But the in-person experience, completely different. And whether it's Daryl Smith afterwards, you know, saying, yes, we want to get back to normal next year, that's the part that you're pulling and praying for that tournament, is that you can get to that part. Because obviously it's such a huge thing for Memphis to have it, and to have your people out there to enjoy it, right? Your citizens is what you want for that tournament. So hopefully we're back to normal next year. And again, that can be with Tiger or without. I think at this point we've shown that thing's going to be a pretty big success, headline grabbing with or without Tiger. In this case, could be without for the rest of time, John. I think it's still
for the rest of time. Yeah, who knows?
Could be. I'm done hoping. We talked about that last week. I'm done hoping and praying for it, acting, because it's different. Like we started with, this isn't something where, hey, when you got Phil Mickelson, it was the biggest name you could get. This is a deal where every year you're going to have the top 50 or so golfers in the world, and you know, in some years you're not going to need Tiger Woods. Would it be nice? Absolutely. I'd still love to have him. I guess next year he'll be 45. Mm-hmm. You saw he's already played. He's already played a practice round over the PGA, John. He was so eager to skip over Memphis and get there. So I'm pretty much done rooting for it. Would still be nice if it happened.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.